Ray Holman, legislative liaison of UAW 6000. Good evening, Ray. How are you?
Doing great, Cheryl. How are you?
Well, you were taking notes fast and furiously at the Capitol today, weren't you? A lot happening with the budgets. Our first two guests, Senators Rick Jones and Senator Glenn Anderson, saying the same thing. A lot of activity and some pretty good news for public employees today out of Department of Human Services.
Yeah, we're happy to see that they did not privatize Medicaid eligibility determination. And that type of work is very complicated and very difficult to master. And we feel that we're best suited to do that. And we feel that keeping that work in-house is best for the citizens of Michigan. And we're happy to see that during the conference today is when the House and the Senate came together to reconcile the two different versions of the Department of Human Services bill. And your previous guests may have spoken to that. They did not include the privatization piece. So we were happy about that, and we think that was a good decision.
Were they a long way apart? I mean, did somebody really, one side really have to give, or did they both, were they both able to kind of come to a consensus and realize what the best direction?
Yeah, I believe they came to a consensus, and obviously I believe the department, the governor's office, I would imagine probably played a role. What had happened, it was just in one of the bills, it was in the Senate bill, that they would privatize that particular job function, which is, again, very complicated and difficult, demanding work. And it was not in the House version. But, I think that they took a look at it, and fortunately, they decided not to send that work out to the private sector. And I think that's good, for, again, the citizens we serve and, of course, for UAW Local 6000 members and all public servants, because I think it kind of is a validation that, public employees can do a good job and, in fact, are often the cheapest way to do the job besides delivering great service. Of course, Governor Snyder still needs to sign the bills ultimately before they become law, but a lot of the work and a lot of the departments was completed today.
Well, and when we talked before about this Medicaid eligibility determination and the complication or the complicated work that is, privatizing it might have kind of spread things out a bit too, instead of having one spot to come to for some of these issues.
That's right, Cheryl. You know what? The Department of Human Services, people can come in and get everything taken care of at one place. You know, that could be help with insurance, help with food, energy, you name it. And to see different pieces of a job sent to different places would create a hassle for many people. And a lot of the people we serve, are trying to get back up on their feet, and they may have transportation issues. And so, again, we think that they made a good decision by keeping that work in-house.
Now, another issue that I've talked with both of the previous guests as well, Ray, was the Department of Corrections budget. Some good news and some bad news in that, depending, of course, on where you come from. But I remember talking with Mel Grieshaber with the Michigan Corrections Organization, and he was very concerned about privatization. And it sounds like we talked, he and I, about this boot camp specifically, kind of the alternative facility. And it sounds like they're going to privatization. At least that's what's in the budget for it right now.
Well, there was some good, you could say, and some bad, you could say, from our perspective, being public employees. One of the good things, and I like to, look to the positive, is they did keep Mound Prison open. They were originally slated to close that. But as other guests had mentioned, yeah, they did send some work to the private sector. And, again, we don't necessarily think that's the best decision. But we are happy that they kept Mound Prison open. And speaking of institutions, they also, in the DHS budget, kept all three of our juvenile facilities open, too. So that was also encouraging as well. Because, we think that, again, the state employees are best suited to do the work.
Well, and another issue, Ray, that you and I have talked about in the past somewhat extensively is partner benefits. And that came up in the higher education budget. And there was actually some kind of constitutional challenges that it looked like were coming for that. And from the information I have, it's late and I don't have a printout in front of me. But it sounds like they went ahead with the 15% cut in higher education budget, but took out a penalty that came up in an amendment a week or so ago involving partner benefits. Do I have that information correct?
Yeah, but I think you are correct. You know, of course, we don't represent people in higher education. You know, we represent state employees. But we're following the issue because, of course, we did negotiate domestic benefits, and that was something we did at the bargaining table. And if people or the governor does not think that's the appropriate thing to do or to fund, you know, the place, again, to do that is at the bargaining table. And I would assume also, and again, I can't speak for other groups, but, you know, for us at least, you know, if people think that's not a good way to spend resources, you know, the place to deal with that is a bargaining table. And we negotiated that. And as you know, Cheryl, we've talked about this before. There was attempts to overturn the Civil Service Commission, but they were unsuccessful.
Correct. And that was my reference to it as well, that this has come up a couple of different times, and it seems to keep getting pushed and doesn't seem to be successful when it gets that far. So overall, you're pretty pleased with a lot of what went in, or what I should say, what's come out of the budgets in terms of state employees at this part.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we're relieved that work wasn't sent to the private sector. Of course, we would have liked to see the department's funded a little bit better. You know, the DHS budget, again, is funded approximately $20 to almost $25 million less than what Governor Snyder had originally called for earlier in the year. So, of course, you know, we're a little concerned about that. But again, you know, and I like to be positive, we're, you know, happy to see that, you know, a lot of our work was kept in-house. One thing they didn't mention is they want to do a study next year to see if privatization would be cheaper. So we'll keep our eyes on things, that's for sure.
Well, the $25 million, you said it was about $25 million less than you had hoped for, or less than originally talked about. How will the folks in Michigan notice those cuts?
Well, you know, you're talking about a huge department, Department of Human Services, and it's, you know, over $6 billion, $7 billion. And so then you're talking about, you know, compared to $20 million. But in this environment, you know, every penny counts. Mm-hmm. And right now we're so short-staffed, it's hard to imagine, you know, the department functioning any better with less money. So, you know, we're concerned about that. But, you know, again, you know, we're maintained the work in-house. We believe that's good for the citizens because we're best able to do that so people can get one-stop shopping. But, of course, you know, we believe the department should be funded and probably with more money. You know, we at least were hoping the department would get what Governor Snyder was calling for. So it was funded a little bit less.
When do you expect, we've got things coming out of conference committee and passed on the floor. When do you think Governor Snyder will be signing these things into law, these budgets?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about working at the Capitol is you never know for sure, and things can change, and they can change on the dime. But, you know, word on the street is, so to speak, it should be done by the end of this week, or at least Governor Snyder should be able to sign the budgets this week. And so I expect late Thursday or possibly Friday, which is really interesting, too, Cheryl, because if he can, with the legislature, complete the budget before June, you know, that's will be the first time that's happened in the last, I believe, over 40 to almost 50 years. And, you know, that's quite a story. I mean, some of our concerns is, you know, there is some painful things in this budget, and we would have hoped we had a little more time to kind of expose that to the public. But nevertheless, it looks like they're on track to finish the budget actually this week, or at least make it available for Governor Snyder this week.
Well, and certainly some of the numbers being in terms of school funding, K through 12, having this done gives them a better handle on what they have to all do as well because their budgets are coming up as well.
That's right. Their budget's coming a little bit earlier, I believe, in the summer. But you know what? Wait and have to see what happens in the next 2 days, but I expect it's going to be completed this week. And, you know, the real meat and potatoes of the budgets were handled today. So it's just going to be a matter of us seeing if they can get the bills written up and if they can get the committees scheduled and, you know, stuff like that.
Very good. As always, Ray, a pleasure to talk with you and get your perspective on all of this as you're watching it all for us as well. Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Great. Thanks, Cheryl.